That's good. We went to see the Gaithers last night. Shirley got to sing with Bill Gaither. Wasn't that wonderful? With the rest of the 8,500 people. But we did sing with Bill Gaither. Had a wonderful time. It was something to see. I'm glad you found us. I'm sure there's some waiting on us up at the other place. At least two or three. But we're here for as long as they'll let us be. I got faith in lawyers. Lawyers are not going to turn loose of Worley and Collins money for a long time. I think this place is pretty safe as long as they can milk that thing. That'll be good. Mumford Scott, he's here. He said he got a picture in his office. He's a lawyer. Big picture of a cow. And the man's pulling on the horns and the woman's pulling on the tail and the lawyer's milking it. In the second picture, they're still shaking fists at each other, and he's gone with the cow. He's gone. So that's what we hope happens here. We can only hope. Thank you for coming out. What a beautiful day we have. Talk to Sylvia Wise. I got the announcements. Sylvia Wise mentioned how close the van is to the... Yeah, all right, that's good. The kids call. All right, Bill. That's wonderful. She does, yeah, Bill Gaither, he can't read either. The van that you guys are giving these kids, the hospital up there, the parking area is way from the main area. And in their old car, they had to park a quarter of a mile from where they were going. And she's carrying Bradley and trying to take care of Frankie, and he's sick. And little Frankie, the other day, they pulled right up to the door in the van. He said, isn't this good? We can just pull the van right up to the door and get out. And you don't know what you have done for those kids and how much they appreciate you. I'll tell about Tom in the sermon. That goes in there, Miss Greenway. Thank you. And I've got that. Okay. You don't tell about Bradley Spellett, I assume. No, okay. Okay, last week, Ann takes care of the little Bradley box. That's for the van. And if you're new here, what we do, we're paying for a van for these little kids that we love. Their pictures there, Bradley and Frankie. And put a dollar in there. If you do nothing else, put a dollar in there. And that helps pay for it. Last week, I asked Ann, I said, did the kids get at least a payment in there? We generally get $100 to $150. And I said, did they get at least a payment of $150? She said, it looks like it. I'll count it and let you know. And about an hour, she said, do you want to cry? And I said, why? She said, there was $615 in that box. Isn't that good? So in the last 3 weeks, we've sent $1,115 for the van, and that's good. We'll get that thing paid off early summer. And then I mentioned the Ferrari before that we'll work on. What? Okay. George will call with a payoff on that this week. We think it's around 3,000 or under. That good. Since October, you guys have paid $7,000 or better on that van. So we thank you for that. Yeah. That's good. The Swinsons are coming to sing March 24th. I know that you love them. They'll be here. Stan and Ann sent a check for $150 this week to go in Bradley's box. So that'll be good. He's done that a time or two before. So that's wonderful. We're glad you found us way down here. And at the new place, we'll be here as long as we can. If they conclude the sale of this thing, we'll be somewhere in the area. Don't worry about it. We will be here. We will be here. You don't have to worry about us. What else did we want to announce? Is that it? Say what now? The spelling. Little Bradley. You know, little Bradley doesn't have any arms and he's got half a tongue. And they said he'd never learn anything, and he is learning. So now he knows he can learn to spell. And he spells his nurse's name is Pat. He learned how to spell that. Hey, Connie. And she knew. She knew. Susie will be here in 30 minutes. And you already went and heard the singers at the other church, didn't you? All right. So little Bradley wants you to spell everything. If he sits on the sofa, he'll say, and his mom will say, S-O-F-A, sofa. And F-O-F, he'll spell it best he can. And when they're doing anything, dog, you got to spell the dog. Got to spell this. Got to, but it gets to his shirt. And Bradley can't remember to put the R in there. She can't laugh because Frankie's there and she don't want to laugh. And so here we go. So we got to teach him how to say his R. He'll be all right, though. But, if he gets that far along, we forward him anyhow. We'll get him down here real soon. They'll have the pictures of Mickey Mouse and all that where they went down to Disney. And that'll be a wonderful thing to see. That'll be good. And we thank you for all you're doing. Anybody here for the first time? We got a few. Thank you. And you fellows here for the first time? About that lady back there talking. I asked her if she's here for the first time. I said, all right. Tell her about how we point people out that do that. Okay, we're doing good. We're thankful that you came. Thank you for that. And those of us that found us here, we're glad you're here. We got to do the chairs. When we get through the chairs, there's a rolling chair. Big thing back there. And if you will, help with the faith. If you do nothing more, fold your chair and put it against the wall. That makes it easier for us to carry it. That have to, you know, because there's a couple hundred chairs here. And what we're going to have to do this summer now, we're going to start the music at 9:30. Music starts at 9:30. I'll start at 10. And we'll get out of here where we can have this place cleared out and gone by 11. Because these people have to run a business here, and we have to respect that. H. Lee has been so good to us. His new place is going to be absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's going to be a knockout. We've seen a few things in it. And he's going to have them cook a brunch for us over there every Sunday. You got to eat somewhere. Everybody, you got to eat somewhere. They got the best chef on the beach. Stole him right from the country club, right from Surfside. Just went up and got him. And Greg, and he'll be cooking, and it'll all be good. I told you Susie'd be here in 30 minutes. That's it. Yeah. I know, we're glad. That's right. Oh, we're so glad you're here. And we had a good time at the Gaithers, you know, at a singing like that. It went from 6 to 9. They took a break and went on to 10:30. And we were just so glad because it was absolutely wonderful. But they did have a comedian, and we liked him. And he had a pig, a little puppet. And he was real good. He's a ventriloquist, and it was real funny. Well, naturally, at the intermission, they sell the tapes and all the things they do. And they were selling some of the pigs, you know, and the kids were buying them and all. We walked by, and dude tells me, said, bet you ain't ever talked to a pig. And I said, bet you ain't never been to Fat Harold's. You know. Yeah. Listen. Oh. Come down here from Indiana wanting to know if we've talked to a pig. You got to be kidding. All right. Yes, darling. Huh? Bible study, 7 o'clock. Okay, Mac, where's Mac? Big Mac, got it. Are we ready with the room out there again? That's the sleep-in. 7 o'clock, okay. The sleep-in is out Highway 17 toward Wilmington, Eastport Golf on the right, your golf course with the volcanoes, the miniature golf, and the lights are on. I mean, it looks like a football field, and it's the motel to the left. And walk in the front door, and we're there. So please be there, and we learn a lot and have a good time, and we just need you to there. Now, we forgot. Oh, I didn't forget. Ann Vereen is here today, and we are so glad to have her. She's one of our special people in the world. And Ann contracted cancer, and it wasn't very pleasant, and we've talked, and a lot of people have prayed for her, and she just wanted to come up and thank you this morning. And Ann, if you'll come on. She'll do that.
Amen.
Okay. Well, they can't hear you, honey. They can't hear you. Yeah, they won't be able to hear you unless you come up here. Go on. Yeah. I used to could do that. There you go, Angel. You go ahead.
Thank you all. I wanted to thank you so much for praying for me during these past 6 months. According to the first doctor that I saw, I should be dead today, not here. And I think that through the power of prayer, all of y'all, that God has healed me, and he's still working on it. He's holding my hand the whole way, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of y'all that have been praying for me, because it certainly is working. I got a good report from the doctor the other day. My doctor just couldn't believe the results of the last PET scan and CAT scan. So, yay!
Praise the Lord.
And thank you again. And don't stop praying. It really works, doesn't it, Sam?
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God.
All right. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Not all your prayers are answered. There's a few people I pray for who are still living. Oh, me. How wonderful. I learned that from Dr. Spurgeon in England. He was praying for a man. The guy was atheist. He kept praying for him. He'd tell him, I'm praying for you every time he saw him. And Spurgeon had a reputation of prayers being answered. And after about 6 months, Spurgeon ran right into him on the street. He said, by the way, I meant to tell you, I've started praying against you. He said, whoa, back up. And found himself in church Sunday. That was good. And I'm telling you, it'll work. And thank the Lord for that. And we're happy as you are, baby. Wish you are. Isn't that good? That'll make you cry. All right. So if you brought your Bible with you, turn to the book of Matthew. After chapter 13. After verse 45. And it's the Lord Jesus speaking, and he's telling the parables, which he'd speak in parables. And says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking fine pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. See how we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we can come and gather in the name of your Son Jesus and meet on the sandy shores that you created. We thank you and love you for putting us here, for you chose Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee to have your headquarters. We thank you that we have this place. Please let us be here all summer, if you will. Let people come who don't normally come to church, that they can show up here just for the music and just because a friend asked them to, and let them sit under the word of God, and then the results, we know you take care of it. We have nothing to do with. But thank you that you would use us as a vehicle to take that word and spread it to people. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of knowing you as Savior, and the distinct honor of being able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As always, remove me from this place that you may be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten, please let it be done so. And anything that should be remembered, please let it be. And whether it's today, tonight, next year, 5 years from now, that someone will remember that they did hear the gospel and it was for them, and they shall find a Savior. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. The wonderful portion of Scripture, the parables of Jesus that he would speak in, and a parable is a heavenly truth told with a earthly story. We have a gentleman here today with us who does street preaching in L.A. Now, you talk about a battlefield. Preach the gospel on the streets of L.A. He's sitting right here. And when you do what we do, the enemy is at a disadvantage, are they not? Yeah. And we thank you for your work. So we find that the parable here that the Lord Jesus is talking about the pearl, this great pearl of great price. And nowadays a pearl is not as big a jewel as it used to be. At one time, the pearl was the king and the queen of jewels. All the monarchs had pearls because they were so very, very hard to find. And then typically a Japanese found one, learned how to do it synthetically, and they're everywhere now. But it used to be the pearls, anything covered were pearl. That was the crowns were covered with pearls. And they wore pearl necklaces and matched pearls, and this was something. So when this was written, the pearl was the jewel. Please understand that. And so he's talking about a pearl of great price. And the pearl that the Lord is talking about here, it says he seeks many pearls. That means he's looking for a lot of people. The pearls are you. And the one great pearl is the whole body, all the pearls that he has found to make the one pearl the church. The merchant man spoken of here is Christ Jesus, of course. And the price that he paid was his blood. He gave all for this great pearl. You have to know a little bit about pearls to appreciate the story and what it's done in a pearl. If you know anything about them, a pearl is the one jewel that you can't split. You can split a big diamond into four or five diamonds and have four or five. You can split an emerald or a ruby. You can do this to any jewel that there is except a pearl. You can't split a pearl. If you split a pearl, it's ruined. A pearl isn't a stone. It is a living organism. A little bit of sand gets in the oyster, and then it secretes a liquid around that, and that is what makes mother of pearl, and it's to get rid of the nuisance. And without the organism being formed in there, you'd have no pearl, and that's exactly what happens to you. The gospel will aggravate you to death when you don't know it. Christianity is a nuisance to you if you don't know it. Hearing about Jesus all the time makes us Jesus freaks. Like, that's bad. You can put on a possum coat, get your hat and a pennant, fifth liquor, go to the ball game, paint your car, and that's all right. But if you attempt to tell somebody about Jesus, you're a fanatic. I never did understand that, did you? Understand it now, because you see, we are a nuisance to people. Of course we're a nuisance to a sinner. Of course he doesn't want to hear what's wrong. Nobody likes to be told their faults, but if you aren't told your faults, then you grow up uncorrected. What if you never corrected your children? What would they do when they got big? If you want to find out, turn to MTV when you go home. That's what they do when you don't correct them. We haven't corrected a generation. Watch MTV, you'll see what you get. I was talking to a lady, went to Gaithers last night, sat with Jean Clark, and she's a counselor out here in Horry County. Whoa, I said, that's a hard job. You say you want to go NASCAR or WWF. I mean, there's only two things to counsel them to. But she said, it's a calling, Beaver. She said, those children need some direction. Said, they don't get any love. They don't get any direction. I get them in there 8, 9, 10 years old smoking pot. And she said, you wouldn't believe what's going on. I said, oh, I thoroughly believe what's going on. This is the second generation that failed to go to Sunday school. They don't know right from wrong. How can you do right from wrong if you don't know right from wrong? And the pearl that is found here is an aggravating thing to that oyster. And he's got to do something about it. So he secretes a liquid, and it covers the pearl. And that way it doesn't cut him. It's in his flesh. It is a thorn in his side. And that's exactly what the gospel is going to be to you as long as you remain unsaved. Then when you understand it and accept the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God regenerates you and makes you a new creature in Christ, then your pain turns to pleasure and your nuisance turns to a comforter who is with you forever. And only God can do that. So it's formed, the church is formed exactly like the pearl is, one layer at a time, one person at a time, one here and one there and one over there. And don't ever think what you do has no influence, and there's no telling the lives that you have affected that you'll never see till you see them in heaven. Never see. You don't know when you invite somebody to come here or in church or to a singing or whatever, where they hear the gospel. You never know what good you do. The results aren't up to you. You just keep bringing them. And we're good to start here. We've got a good crowd here this morning, and we need to bring twice this many. Everybody needs to bring one this summer. Bring one this month. And let's let them sit under the preaching of the gospel and let them hear what it is they're missing, because they don't know. They have no idea what they're missing. It's one thing to look at that ocean and that beach and that sun. It's another to know He who made it. It's another to know Him personally. It's another to know that He cares for me. How wonderful that is. It just gets all over you to hear little Ann come up here and tell you, pray for me. Your prayers have helped take the cancer away. We believe that. We believe that. See? Don't need a healing line. We need a direct line. You pray to God. He'll do the healing. He'll take care of that. See, isn't that wonderful? So you can't split it. You can split a local church, but you can't split the church. And one by one, they're added in just like you. Came and looked and saw and said, well, I might go back just cause. And then it was, I might go back, you know, I like that. And then one Sunday you said, my goodness, I'm one of them. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? How wonderful God is and how good He works. Now the church is developed, please understand, by suffering. That oyster suffers. If oysters, that's why they put them in the water, in the mud, because they'd be screaming. They suffer. That hurts. And if you think that doing the work of the Lord Jesus and getting Christianity through hadn't caused pain, then you don't know much about history. The work is done largely in obscurity. You hear nothing about it. You think the martyrs were through years ago and that was ancient church history and you're sorry that happened and the Reformation and all. And you, No. They're killing Christians this morning. The Islamic nation will kill you if you're Christian. They're on TVs and they're liars and they're godless and they're going to hell. I'm not sorry for any of them. I hope the gospel gets to them. But I have a hard time loving those enemies. It's awful hard. If you go to South Korea and you're a Christian, North Korea, they will kill you this morning. This morning. Christians are being killed. And they're being killed in some despicable ways that we won't even talk about, that you wouldn't even want to know about. You wouldn't want that in your mind. Hatred of Christianity. The hatred of it. And through suffering, the church was built. And it goes from the total bottom. A pearl is in the muck and the mire. You see it around here. We're familiar with oysters around here. You get in the backwaters out here and you find yourself some oysters. And we know what they grow in. It's muck and mire and deep. And it's not a very pleasant, it's an inhospitable place to be in. But this is where the work of the church is done. This is where the real work's done. You know who the real heroes of the church are? You can generally measure by the steeple. The higher the steeple, the further they are from the gospel. Good measuring stick. And you get with the missionary on the foreign field who's got a straw hut to meet in and no place to sit and people standing around, or the people in Afghanistan who are slipping around trying to be Christian, trying to find out the truth. And they're hiding in zero weather and just meeting together very quietly. Or the Chinese who are meeting over there in homes, and the law once again says if they catch a meeting, they're going to kill them again. And this is how the work of the church is spread around the world. We got it easy. We got it easy. Apostle Paul went to first whatever, we won't call any names, and saw the carpet and the glass and the brass and the air conditioning and a meek mild sermon with 3 points and a poem. His only question would be, just what is it you're trying to do? What gospel is it did you read? This is not the one I wrote. And he wouldn't be invited back because he caused trouble everywhere he went. Went to jail before he went to the motel, and they started a fight every time he preached. Put that on your bulletin coming next week. Apostle Paul, see. So until a man understands the gospel and has it brought to him, and it's developed because somebody suffered, man goes out on the street. You want to get some suffering? Go out on the street corner, old recount. Just get on the street corner, get your Bible, start preaching. People yell at you from cars, throw things at you, and you ain't done anything, tried to be a good guy. Start a church. And here comes the gossip. Here they come. Every way. Talking about you. Say, well, I remember him when. I know. Well, wait a minute. I can run a list on you. I can run a list too. And if you're not going to be willing to suffer for the gospel, believe me, you will never spread it. You'll never spread it. It was not meek and mild. There's no such thing as a kind, clean cross. No such thing. No such thing as an easy beating on your back was ever given by the Romans. Nobody was ever beheaded nicely. Nobody was ever sawn in half without pain being involved. Please understand, the gospel is going to cost some pain. Your pain here sometimes is the money you have to give. One of my good friends here who had a little trouble with the authorities, like some of us have, they couldn't figure out what to do. He was going to leave town. They were going to put him in jail. He went before the judge, and they worked things out. And they not only worked things out so he could pay his past alimony, they got him a job. Well, we were so glad of that. And he came running in last Sunday up here in his work clothes. We don't care what you wear, as long as you wear something. Some of you are pushing it about July. But he comes in his work clothes, and he's obviously in his work clothes. I said, it's good to see you. Gave him a big hug. He said, look, I'm in a hurry. I said, okay. And he said, I've got to go to work. He said, got me a job. He said, but I had to come by and put something in Bradley's box. I said, look at him. Look at him. And last week, Ann takes care of all that. All I do is talk. You know that by now. Ann takes care of all this, and we generally get a payment. Everybody just giving their dollar, and thank God for you. And there'll be about $100 to $150 in there every week because everybody gives a dollar. And I said, honey, did the boys do all right last Sunday? And she said, I hadn't counted it yet. I'll let you know. And in about an hour, I said, did you count it? She said, yeah. And I said, did they get a payment? She said, do you want to cry? And I said, why? She said, there was $615 in that box. Tell me what you will. Tell me what you will. See, but that comes from the love of you have for those little boys. And some of you, that dollar's hard to give, and I know that. There's people put a dollar in there for Bradley that aren't working. I know that. See? And we appreciate that. But I know somebody will pay it back 100,000 times. You just stick in there. A pearl is brought out of the mire. Oh, my wife used to love to collect seashells when she could bend over and pick them up. But those days are gone. Now we just look at them a lot. So we went to McClellanville, and the seashell capital of the universe. And we met a guy, I don't know where she finds them. She found a guy that plants oyster beds for the state. That's what he does. And he knows where the seashells are, and he carried us to one little island that nobody goes on. And I said, well, this is going to be good. And so I jump out, and the mire around that little island will go to your knees, I know. Went to my knees, just in it. Now, there I am, got a pair of tennis shoes on. Ann jumps in my arms. She doesn't want to get her feet dirty. So now I'm almost waist deep in this mire. Praying the tide ain't coming in. I'm going to drown. I mean, this is over. And I said, I've heard of the muck in the mire, but boy, this is it. This is it. And my tennis shoes are still down there. I got out of there. They still there, see? And but the mire that's in is not a place where you would look for beauty. Isn't that strange? And the most beautiful thing in the world, that cultured pearl, grows and develops silently and quietly in the muck, in the mire. And just develops and just goes on about its business. And you see people like you and people like me who walk around sometimes we're not the richest people on the street. Sometimes our car isn't the newest one, and sometimes it's not us you come to if you're trying to raise funds. And we're not the beautiful people. They're down at the south of Florida, not the south of South Carolina. And yet we get it done. Walk around South Carolina, drive slowly, and look at the churches. Look at the little country churches, the little clapboard churches, and the little brick churches everywhere. They're everywhere. And the churches are the only thing that holds the United States of America together today. Please understand that. It's the only thing. And it ain't going to be here long. So we were once in the mire, were we not? There's a song that said, "He raised me up from the miry clay." And I used to sing it and know about it and didn't know what it was till I found out about what the mire was down there. And I said, yeah, when you were lost, that's where you were. Mired up in sin, couldn't get out. It had a hold on you, that suction. You try to lift your leg out, it'll just keep you. And once it gets a hold on you, boy, it's hard to turn loose. The devil, you got to give the devil his due. Listen, anytime you can get a third of the angels who saw God create all this, when you can get a third of them to follow you, you the hustler of the universe. You try to fight him by yourself, he will grind you to powder. All these folks hollering, oh, but they going to bind the devil. They didn't meet the one I met. They ain't going to bind him. He'll eat you up. He'll be bound when the Lord Jesus binds him and throws him into the pit, and not until. And you try to fight him, and you try to beat the sin in your life by yourself without a Savior, I'm sorry, you're going to lose. Because you're going to remain the same person, and that person can't beat sin. When you accept him, just like the pearl, you come out of that oyster. There's very little in the world uglier than an oyster. Before they clean them up, you ever seen an oyster tree? You've seen them around here. Man, that's ugly. It was a hungry man ate the first oyster. I mean, that dude was starving to death. He said, maybe I can eat this. And he did. But that thing of beauty. Well, see, that's exactly what happens to you. You may be beautiful on the outside, and inside you are filthy and ugly and lost and undone. And Jesus fixes all that, and he says, all things become new. All things become new. And there's nothing, not a day in your life, whether it's swimming or using two things a dial or getting caught in a laundromat, there's nothing will make you feel cleaner than the day you accept the Lord Jesus and he cleans you inside. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just a born again regeneration by the Holy Spirit of God that nothing else can do, and cleans you up on the inside. And you just breathe and say, how did I ever live in that? How did I ever walk in that? How did I ever think that was enjoyable? How did I ever think that was fun? And the work's done silently. And most of the missionaries, you can't name five. Doing the work quietly, going among people they don't know, language they're not used to speaking, food they don't want to eat, strange bugs and critters and things that they're not used to, living conditions aren't the best, people persecuting them, people capturing them, and you pray for the two missionaries captured in the Philippines by those heathens. They may end up going home early. It's all right. They got a place to go. It's okay. But they do they're not on TV. They don't fly around in the jets, and they don't have a Rolls Royce, and they're very quiet and all. But I tell you, somebody who's keeping the score knows what they're doing. So he knows what they're doing. That's not why they're doing it, but he knows. And the small churches are the best ones, by the way. I appreciate the ministries that have 4,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 people and 8,000 people, but they don't even know each other's name. I've been in churches where you couldn't get a hug. I see Bobby McGinnis back there, a church I used to preach at. And there's one guy, I don't know why or how he became a human being. He should have been kept from people from birth. And McGinnis said, he's going to speak to me, or I'm going to kill him. I'm standing right in that hall, and he's going to have to run over me or talk to me Sunday. And isn't that awful when you're like that? Ain't like that around here. We'll hug you if we don't know you. Right? Well, it don't matter to us. We'll hug you and love you. And it's not false. We're just so glad to see you. We're just so glad you're here. And there's friends here. There's people here I'd give a key to my car for a week, and I don't even know their name. But he said, need your car for a week. Yeah, try to be careful. I said, where else are you going to do that? See, where did you get that? You get that in small groups who people who know that we're trying to get something done. That's where that comes from. It's your personal witness, and when you tell people about what we're doing down here, see, that's preaching. You don't know that, but it is. Every time you tell somebody, you need to come down there with us. Get in the car. When Jim will go get them on the motorcycle. Get up. Where are we going? Get on the motorcycle. And they get on. He brings them down here. They don't have much of a choice. He's done it over and over and over. You've brought people. There's people here today who were invited by somebody who came. That's how we grow. We don't advertise. We're just here. And you bring people. That's preaching. That's personal witnessing. And God bless you for it. And let me tell you what you do by helping Bradley. Little Bradley and Frankie. As you know, their mother collects dolls. Came down here and went to the doll house looking for dolls. Bless their heart. Oh, me. They said, them dolls are expensive. I said, yeah. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. She had to go to the doll shop in Winston-Salem and get a doll fixed. And hadn't been there in a while. The lady owns the shop. Said, oh, I see you got a new van. And she said, yeah, the Lord gave it to me. And there was a big guy, big dude standing right beside her. And he said, did what? She said, the Lord gave it to me. He said, what are you talking about? The Lord gave it to you. She said, well, I'll tell you. And she began to tell him about you. There's a little group of people down in South Carolina don't even know us. Most of them never seen us. And we ran into the preacher's wife, and we got connected down there, and they bought us that van. It's about paid for. The Lord gave us that van. And they said, the guy said, why? He said, because they love my little boys. And he said, why? He said, why? Look at him. I mean, there's Bradley with no arms and no legs looking at him like a puppy. He said, why? Because look at him, sir. And he looked and he said, now tell me that again. He said, gave it to the van. He said, paid for it? He said, it's ours. He said, what did you do for them? He said, nothing. She said, sir, that's the Lord working. That's the work of God. And that big old boy left that with tears in his eyes. And she said, he's softening up. Said, we'll win him to the Lord. I said, yeah, you will. And that's because you put a dollar in that box. You never know what you're going to do. Sam was telling us last night. He was working. Remember that day Sam worked, don't you, Patsy? And Sam was working. And got to talking to one of his customers who just got on Jeff Gordon. Now, you know how NASCAR fans are. And he just owned Jeff Gordon's case. Blah, 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 boo, boo. And Sam said, wait a minute. Do you know him? He said, no. He said, let me tell you a little something about it. And began to tell him how he flew down and saw Bradley and Franklin and made that trip. And he said, I didn't know that. He left crying. See? This is what you do when you do these things. That's called personal witnessing. You don't have to preach. See? You don't have to preach. You just have to show the difference between dark and lightness, in the good and the bad, in the right and the wrong. And when you show that through your living, it comes back. Don't worry about you invite them. God will send them. So it isn't a Saturday night goes by, I don't pray. Lord, send the people. Send the people. And help me preach as you would have me preach. And say what you would have me say. It ain't me, it's you. But send the people. And they'll start to fill up. By the way, a man called and looking for you, Jim. And got to talking. And he said, by the way, would you like to be on television? I said, excuse me? He said, I can get you on TV free for a half hour every week. I said, pardon me. He said, we can get you on television 30 minutes a week free. He said, have you got a VHS, super VH8, whatever it is, camera? I said, do they make them? And he said, yeah. I said, we can get one. We'll have one. And I said, how are you going to do this? In some complicated way, he's got an in with the people who are, and we can get there. We're going to be on TV, if the Lord willing, you pray about it. Keep praying about it. Doesn't cost us a dime. And we'll be there 30 minutes from right here. Won't that be wonderful? And won't that be good? So, won't that be good? Charlotte Daniels said, well, that'd be good. The sermons will be shorter. Yeah. I said, no, the sermons will be part one and part two. Ain't no shorter. So you keep up your work in what you do and silently witness to people around here and tell them, those who think they're having fun. If you really think they're having fun, get up at Ducks and Harold's about 1 in the morning and count the smiles. Do that one Saturday night. Please do that. Get up there and just make it a point about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and count the number of people you see smiling. And you'll say, I don't know whether this is fun or not, because nobody's smiling. Nobody's really happy. You see, that's a temporary hit. That's a temporary cover for permanent pain. And you can't put a Band-Aid on heart surgery. You can't do it. Only place the jitterbugs, which we came from and are going to get straightened out inside, is if they come right here and hear what we're talking about. So you bring them. We got a lot of friends near to be here. Now this pearl is brought from darkness to light. Exactly what happens to a Christian. Walking in darkness, and the song goes, I was blind, but now I see. I was in darkness, now I walk in light. And what a day that is when the light comes on. And I tell you, if you don't understand everything we say, don't expect you to. Don't worry about it. Just sit there long enough and the light will come on. You just keep coming and the light will come on. You cannot sit under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ long without the light coming on. I promise you. You just sit and listen and sit and listen and sit and listen. And one day the light will come on. You'll say, I was blind. And now I see. How wonderful that is when that day's appeared, when the light of the Lord Jesus Christ lights up in your heart. Then you're born to be presented to the King. That's what a pearl was for. A pearl was formed in the oyster, in the muck, in the mire, in the pain, in the suffering, but it was formed to one day be presented to a King. And that is exactly what God says that a Christian does, that you're brought out of the muck and the mire. And then he prepares you and works on you and works on you and forms you into the image of Christ. And one day, you and I and everybody who knows him as Savior will be presented to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as his trophy. And he said, you're priceless to me. I'm going to march the angels of heaven by and say, how you like this? You think you saw something when I created that world? You think those stars are something? You think you something? Watch this. Church! And he's going to present you. And he's going to present me. Isn't that good to know that God loves you enough to count you a priceless jewel in his crown? And the cost of that, it wasn't free. It's free for you to accept the Lord, but it cost him. The price was the blood of Christ on Calvary's cross. And the gospel says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Which tells you, in the eyes of God, the value of one soul, your soul, is worth more than all the combined riches of the world, which is inestimable. One soul. That's what you mean to him. You got to find out what he means to you. That's why you're here. He said, well, I don't understand what you do. Well, if you understood what you do, you'd have no need for me. We explain what you do. By faith, the faith of a child, like a child jumps off the top of a car into his daddy's arms. If his daddy moves, he'll splatter on the pavement. The child never considers that. Just by faith, that's my daddy. He loves me. He cares for me. He's never hurt me, and he'll never hurt me. If he says jump, I'm going to jump. And God does the same thing. He said, you're fixing to jump into eternity, and you're going to land somewhere. You can either land in hell or land in my arms. Pick one. The devil will let you fall and laugh at your crippled face. I'll catch you and hold you close to me. Because you see, you're mine. I bought you. I've already paid for you. Just stop by the cross, pick up your ticket, and come on home. What a deal. What a deal. And if you never make that decision, you make it today. We don't have people come to the front. We don't have people sign a card. We don't have them do anything. Churches who do that, that's their business, and that's their way, and that's fine. But all that's required according to that book is where you sit. They'll understand you're lost and dying and on your way to hell if you die. And the only way out of that is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent silently to him. To the Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know it. No use trying to hustle you. I can't even fool myself. And I want to repent of my sins. I'm sorry. And I want to start out a new creature in Christ. I want you to make me a new creature, just like you did the oyster. Started out as an irritant, a grain of sand, and ended up as a jewel. Would you do that for me? And he said, I will. I will. And if you've never done that, you do that today. Just as we play, we always play a record, a tune, last about 3 minutes. Give you an opportunity to sit silently and just review your life, if you will. Just run a little inventory. And find out whether you need a Savior or if you can make it by yourself. If you can make it by yourself, stay as you are. If you need a Savior, you better call on Christ. It's very simple to do. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I was a sinner by choice. I need a Savior, and I believe with all my heart it's you. Save me and then prepare me and make a jewel out of my life. I promise you he's never failed to answer that prayer, and he will for you. So if you haven't been there, get there today as we play and as we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in their hearts here. And if there's just one, there's plenty who have come lost and can leave found. Came undone, came in the mire, going to leave as a jewel. We thank you for that, for only you can do that. Only the Holy Spirit of God can regenerate a life. Only you can come to indwell in people and make them righteous. Only you can pay for the sins, and you've done that already. All we have to do is claim it as ours. And if there be one here who knows you not as Lord and Savior, may today be the day that they change their eternity forever and take that step in their heart that will lead them to live with you forevermore. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for healing Anne. Continue to do that, please, and take away that cancer. Those others here who have physical ailments, financial problems, marital problems, please solve those. But let us just get right with you, because I've found that if we'll get close to you, the problems seem to go away. Thank you for your goodness and your love. And save the man who is near his tail. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen.